Today on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I regret now saying replace him.
Now that there's a solution.
Now I regret that.
I regret it. I regret it too, Mr. Man. Are you attracted to Gwen Stefani?
Yes. I think she's
okay.
Gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I almost throw up in my mouth when you say gorgeous. I don't know why, but I
would
do.
Like I to really make don't. Out with her.
Okay. That's,
kiss her for hours.
Yuck.
Thank you.
We could hug.
All right. You don't have like a 500-gallon gas tank under your house, do you?
No, I do not.
That's John.
You don't have an AK-47 that is drywalled into the wall.
No.
Okay,
no,
so yeah, I mean, I bet you're just an outdoorsman.
Yeah. As Oscar says, he has a lot going on.
All that and more. The Mike O'Mara Show starts now. Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Let's get started.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara, Oscar Santana, and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Hi, everybody. How's everybody doing? Oatmeal, Texas, Micro, North Carolina, Logan, Ohio, Stillwater, Oklahoma, and Tucumcari, New Mexico, along with Villa de Merlot, San Luis, Argentina. Good night for Argentina. 1985 was the movie on the Golden Globes. We'll talk about that in a second. Before we get started with the show, I want to send my very best wishes out to all the people in California that are dealing with just ridiculously unusual weather. Rain, rain, go away. All the way from our friends in the Sacramento area, all the way down through L.A., my daughter, who lives in Los Angeles, and had a conversation with her, found out that even with that secondary education that she gets, didn't know what the term culvert meant. I said, are you near a culvert? She said, what's that? And then we went through that. It was a very interesting conversation with my daughter, Catherine, yesterday, because I was concerned, and because she is, and always has been, semi-nocturnal.
Yes.
She's a raccoon. She goes out at night, and when she's working, she works in the service industry, so that's it.
Yeah. Was it wearying and unrewarding?
No, because raccoon is the sweetest, nice, because you don't call her a vampire.
No.
Raccoon is sweet. Call her a raccoon is like the sweetest way to say someone's knocked her.
Yeah.
No, her restaurant closed in December, which I didn't know.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
And then Carla said to me, when did she say that? Maybe she said it when she was here, but so they're having their little trouble looking for work, and they're in the middle of doing that now. And apparently because of the month of January, where everybody dries out, that's what her reason was.
Well, yeah, that's what is it? Sober.
So no, dry January.
Yeah,
dry January. So anywho, she said, "Well, the water's going by us, Dad."
Try dry April, May, June, July, August.
She said the water is going by her apartment. I said, "It's going by us." I said, "Are you near a culvert?" She said, "What's that?" I went, it's a ravine, Catherine. It's usually cut out by when you do get water, and they've you've got areas of LA and the surrounding areas of Los Angeles and Southern California that don't get a lot of rain, and people have in some cases never seen racing water in these little culverts and these streams and these tributaries. So it's a real mess out there. So when I'm talking to her, I found myself not being relieved. I found myself getting more and more uptight about this situation.
Yeah.
She said, "The water's going by." I said, "Really?" I said, "Well, your new place is in Hollywood, right? I thought you were in the hills." She said, "We are, Dad, but we're at the base of a hill." I said, "Well, you know, my impression would be if you're at the base of a hill, not really cool to be at the base of a hill."
No, kind of the worst place.
When
to
the
be.
Water's probably the worst place. And then I said, "Well, are you on a second floor apartment?" He said, "No, we're at a ground floor apartment." He said, "That's good." So I'm just going through
also
this
great
and going
for
through
insurance.
This. Well, insurance. Well, if you're in an apartment, it's your stuff, right?
So that's
I'm not
true. That's
particularly
true.
Concerned about that. But a lot of people are dealing with that, and then I guess more rain coming in for our friends in the Sacramento area today. Just a nightmare out there. And, and when I say nightmare, not everywhere, but in certain areas, you know. My God, it's why Kevin Costner had to shelter in place and wasn't able to make it to the Golden Globes.
Santa Barbara.
To collect his award.
Yeah.
But we'll get to the
That was a wacky.
The Golden Globes.
How long did you stay with it?
I stayed with it probably from 9:30-ish till 11. I stuck around. First of all,
bless your heart.
All right, we'll dive in, and then we'll get our. We've got a talking head here today, so I don't want to cheat him out of time. Is he okay with the late start?
Yes.
We had folks behind the scenes today. Yeah. Let me tell you,
one
of the all-time greats.
Goat show.
One of the all-time greats. Really, really spectacular. So let me get to the Golden Globes because it
Mike, I have a production element for you.
Okay.
Golden Globes.
I thought that would play better.
That's the worst.
Who was the host?
Gerard Carmichael.
Gerard Carmichael.
Yeah.
And Gerard Carmichael gave a monologue that it's just for old school. This means I'm an old fart and I want jokes.
Yeah.
I want material. And it was basically a monologue about the racism at the Golden Globes.
Well, this is not as much on Gerard.
Gerard.
I had a wonderful one of the Haitian twins is named Gerard.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Gerard. I apologize.
Gerard.
It's not on Gerard. The Golden Globes has been.
Well, how can it not be on Gerard? He's the guy that wrote it.
Because the Golden Globes have been suffering from this scarlet letter because of their
Who's
own doing.
Who's not aware of this?
Well, that's the thing.
But it's not, if you're going to talk about the only reason that you're on the stage is because you're black, you can get there and make it, I don't know.
Did it make you uncomfortable? Is that why you didn't like it?
No, I just want funny. I just want funny. Look, I am fine with anything that has to do with enlightening people regarding racial transgressions. You know my politics.
100%.
You know how
That's
I
why
feel
I'm shocked
about
you're
that.
Saying this.
What I'm not shocked. It sucked.
Okay.
And he should be called out on it, regardless of the color of his skin. It sucked. The presentation and the point, even the point he was trying to get across, he did so in such a low energy, meandering way. I have not seen his stand up, so I don't know what it normally is, but. I was just, are you kidding me? And, this is to me what the Golden Globes should be. The Golden Globes should be irreverent. And in many cases, they were last night. A lot of F-bombs, a lot of S-bombs dropped. But when you've got the host out there, I would like to have it more, first of all, more edgy. And it was in a way, his monologue talking about the only reason he got the gig. Mm-hmm. He goes through 10, 15 minutes of how he got the job. And who he talked to is horrible.
In fairness to Mike.
It's meandering.
And
I had absolutely no point of view.
I didn't watch the opening of the show. I watched the
terrible
the last 2 hours. Mike is not alone here because.
If I'm a racist by calling this guy.
You're not.
No, I don't think you are.
And let me be clear here. All I had to do is type in monologue, and the first article that comes from Friendly Press on my feed is from Rolling Stone.
Okay.
And they say, Golden Globes and Gerard Michael roasts, quote unquote, racist Golden Globes in awkward opening monologue.
Awkward was not the word. And they showed crowd shots of everybody going, what is he doing?
Trying
First
to figure
of all,
it
the,
out.
The body language.
Yes.
You know, when you're on a stage like that, when you're on what is essentially a spotlighted hosting gig, the idea of walking all the way to one end and walking all the way to the other, it just didn't work. He was looking down. He wasn't looking. It was just.
He's not a host.
Hot. Well, I mean, if he's a stand-up comedian, I'd like to say I haven't done a deep dive.
Yeah,
I haven't.
But he
do you know?
I've heard him. He did Saturday Night Live. I've not seen him
his
do his stand-up.
His patter is similar to the stream of consciousness that I think you're referring to,
which we do every day on the show.
Yeah.
Which I am fine,
but
with,
not on but stage.
Not
no.
there.
No,
there
no.
is. And my look. Yes, my idea of what I would love in a host is roasting to a degree. The famous, the rich and the famous,
here.
Taking them down a notch. And when you take down the organization, which obviously had zero diversity for years and years and years, you're playing a theme that has been played before. You are roasting people that we really can't see, so we don't know. It's behind the scenes stuff. It's inside stuff. That's not too fun. And it just was a drag. And then followed by nominees and, are you going to tell me that the Game of Thrones sequel was the best television show? Are you smoking crack? I mean, I just don't know what.
I saw that.
I was stunned.
That acceptance speech was awkward.
The only moment that gave me any pleasure whatsoever, there were two of them.
Okay.
One was Jennifer Coolidge, who was Jennifer Coolidge-y as much as a human being could be, and was spectacular. Talking about how she didn't get roles. It was fantastic.
I was sick of her for a while, but she's. I'm back to liking her now.
She's just, that's who she is.
That's it. Really that's what she does. Yeah.
She might have been doing a character on stage. But then Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Who
it was great.
Was mellow. Literally setting the table for one joke. And Rob's got it right here. This was Eddie setting us all up and being serious up until his joke. And I thought it was
spectacular. I want to let you know that there is a definitive blueprint that you can follow to achieve success, prosperity, longevity, and peace of mind. And I followed it my whole career. Just do these three things. Pay your taxes. Mind your business. And keep Will Smith's wife's name...
Out your effing mouth. Just silly Eddie, you know,
funny.
The thing about Eddie Murphy, man, not only does he walk into a room and he's funny,
yes,
they did a little montage of his, and I realized how many different ways he's made me laugh over the years.
So many
how
hits.
Spectacular he is as a talent. And just it was funny at the end. And it's funny that Will Smith, there were a few jokes about Will Smith. I think Gerard tried to make Will Smith, and it just crushed.
So much of his.
It didn't crush. It fell flat.
So much of his stuff fell flat. And I think that the Golden Globes would.
It's delivery.
I understand that they're concerned about their image and the need to address it. But they would have done a much better job of having an entertaining show and then addressing it away from the show.
Here's what it is. I think if you are going on stage in front of that room, even with all the people that no-showed, and believe me,
there are plenty.
Brad Pitt was the guy, and everybody was,
he was the movie star,
giving that special favor to, but because there was nobody there. Jessica Chastain was there, to watch her show get beaten by House of the Dragon. Jesus Christ. I mean, really, can you imagine her getting back in the limo? What the f***? Right?
She could do the after show, and that would be it.
I have a soft spot in my heart for the Tammy, and George miniseries. It was great. But the point I was trying to make with Eddie and with the Will Smith, it's just amazing that's a year.
Yep.
That's now a year where that joke still has legs. People are, and it has to do with the setup.
He set it up so perfectly.
Oh, God. But I mean, in general, the awards, people that, anything I watched, it seemed to be overlooked.
Yeah.
It really seemed to be overlooked last night. And I don't know. When did the Cate Blanchett movie come out?
Like they surprise us with things.
They surprise. What are these projects that I didn't get?
And keep in mind, the Golden Globes is traditionally the preview of what we're going to see at the Academy Awards.
Yeah,
so you're going to see more movies that you've not seen.
It was a big drag. Let's bring in our talking.
Just a quick note.
Yes, go ahead. Yes, of course.
Just as a Variety is reporting that the mystery monologue from at the open of the Golden Globes, that Carmichael himself was the only one who knew what he was going to say at the open of the monologue.
Probably 5 minutes before he got up there, just based on what I
saw. Fair
enough.
Could have tightened a little bit.
It just was meandering.
Yeah.
I mean, really meandering. And with all due respect to Gerard, it was a monologue given by somebody who should have had a little bit more clout.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't that, I didn't care about how he got the gig. You know what I mean? Mm. And I just think if you, the point I was going to try to make is if you're going to go up behind in front of that, I think you have to be a widely known celebrity. I think you have to be a widely known
a superstar.
And I think they're getting people that host these award shows now. It seems to be more and more you're getting people that are lesser known celebrities, lesser known performers, mm-hmm. because I think people are saying, I'm not doing that.
It's thankless. It's a thankless job.
It's a thankless
from what
gig,
I see here, you know? With respect, then and Gerard has 10 times more success than I'll ever see. God bless him. We're a phone call away or a DM away to a TikTok account for hosts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I wrong? Yeah.
I know. Mm-hmm. What is his stand-up comedian? What TV show is
SNL.
He?
That's all. I mean, that's all I think about.
Yeah, he did. We hosted that. That was it. And I was.
Why?
Because he's a stand-up comic. He was of the
okay,
moment.
But I mean,
he's
really,
underwhelming. He was an underwhelming host. I'll tell you that.
He's on the Carmichael show. He has the most of his. He's on. He was in Neighbors. He's a character actor, right? So mm-hmm. that's what I would say.
Is he getting? Is
he's regular you know, gig? Regular gigs.
Is he getting blowback on the performance? Savaged, perhaps?
Even from the most liberal of press, Mike, they're not attacking him, but they're wondering
what
happened.
They're not being necessarily kind.
No, they're what, as Rolling Stone would say, or Variety would say, the mystery monologue.
yeah. Weird. Let's bring our talking head in. Nate Cavanaugh is our guy. Nate has listened to us for quite a while, dating back to the old show. He is a bonus show subscriber. He's 47. He lives in Santa Cruz, California. After working high tech and the defense industry for years, Nate took his current job. He is a fire alarm shop supervisor for the University of California, Santa Cruz. We had him at, there he is. Mm-hmm. And his favorite part of the show is our TV and movie recommendations. You know, and he's a new listener. Discovered us a short time
ago.
Look
at this guy.
Yeah. He loves when the show gets weird and abstract. Well, this is today. We're all over the place today. Nate, you should have been here. Mm-hmm. Nate, did you hear any of the, was the line open at all when we were having our wonderful pre-show meeting?
Eternal meeting.
No, it wasn't.
You love the show before the show.
You probably would have shut your computer off and gone to your car. Anyway. So he loves it when the show gets weird and abstract, like when Mike does Nipsey Russell.
Nipsey Russell!
But his inspiration to be a talking head was hearing Bruce Springsteen on the Butterball Turkey Hotline.
Yes.
Thank you. And once when he was surrounded by people saying the rosary, Nate chose to listen to Low Budget Jeopardy back in the radio days. Are you saying that? I have to start with that because it's fascinating to me. Are you saying that you started listening to Low Budget Jeopardy when people were in church, or when you were at a funeral, or were you with a bunch of old Irish ladies or old Italian ladies that were just sitting on a park bench? How the hell did that go down? I'm confused by that.
I was on a very small, sketchy boat in the Philippines, and the waves picked up, and it felt like we were going down, and I looked around, and I saw everybody holding their rosaries and praying, and then I saw the captain's lips moving, and I went, oh, my God, he's praying, too. I just remembered I happened to have some old Don and Mike show episodes on my iPod, and I pulled that out, and I landed on Kiefer Sutherland, or Jack Bauer bit.
That's funny. That is fantastic. What were you doing, A, in the Philippines, and B, on a boat? And what kind of boat was it that, you know, I immediately, when you say that, even briefly, picture this old scow that you're on with, or a ferry boat of some kind.
It's the former. Yeah, it was they call them a bonka boat. It's like this big canoe with outriggers on it, and they're sketchy. They go down all the time. I found out later after the fact. I used to work over there. I used to work part-time in the Philippines. I would go back and forth in the high-tech industry and working at factories. And I would go to these outer islands on the weekends where I could go get a place on the beach and a little dirt bike to ride around and a fishing boat for like $100 a weekend. It was insanely cheap. So I'd go do this on the weekends, and one of them coming back, we hit rough seas, and it was terrifying to say.
Well, you know, I mean, it probably prepped you for what you're going through now, because Nate, it says here, has been evacuated from his home 3 times in the past week. And you are in Sacramento, which means you're getting more now, right?
I'm in Santa Cruz, actually.
Okay, Santa Cruz. Yeah.
Yeah, I did live in Sacramento for a few years. I went up there to go to school. And
you used to work there, right? Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, that was in Santa Cruz, if I'm not mistaken, you're like beach inlets washed away.
I'm about a mile. My place is about a mile from the Pacific Ocean.
Whoa.
So to consider that a river is rising well over 1 foot an hour, sometimes 2 feet an hour, river that's about to dump right into the Pacific Ocean, kind of gives you an idea of how much water we're getting off of these hills. It's just incredible.
So being in Santa Cruz, not the same immediate situation. Has the rain abated for a time now? Where are you now? And I'd like to stay on this, because really, I've been trying to follow it. And the problem with following this story, where you are in that massive state of yours that goes along the entire Pacific coast, it's tough to figure out who's getting what, when, and what it's happening. What's happening right now where you are? Last week, you've been evacuated 3 times. Where are you right now?
Right now, I'm home. I'm back home. The river, it's gone up and down and up and down. I've been watching this NOAA graph, and I mean, it just looks like these big spikes. And that's what happens here. We get these flash flood kind of conditions, and then it goes down, and then it comes back up. Us being close to the coast, it does eventually drain out pretty quickly. The other parts of California, they're still getting the lingering effects of this, and they have much more broad mountain ranges, more creeks, more rivers, more air, more mass to where this water kind of disperses, and eventually it'll go into the rivers, and eventually they'll flood. Where us, it's like within a matter of minutes, it's raining up in the hills and we're flooding.
Wow. You've been in California a long time, and I hear a lot of people talking about this being a once in a lifetime event. Have you ever seen anything even remotely close to this in Cali?
I've 82 was really bad, but I was only 7 years old, so I don't remember much about that. Mm-hmm. We had about 4 or 5 years ago, maybe, we had a similar sort of rise in the river where I live. However, it was nothing near what we saw a couple days ago. And I do have to clarify, yesterday on the show, you said that I was currently evicted. I was actually currently being evicted when Rob called. So I was in the process of packing my crap. So
evicted or evacuated?
Sorry,
it's a big difference there, Nate. You know, just
Mother Nature tried to evict you.
Yeah. Now, when you obviously, if the river is rising at 1 or 2 feet an hour, time is of the issue. How do they notify you when you need to evacuate? How do they reach out?
We get reverse 911 calls, and
yeah, it's a robo text. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
Not that I have been through it.
Yeah, right, Mike. Yeah.
What they do is they send the, you know, it's like an Amber Alert. Mm. It goes out and you get the alarm, and people say, go here and do this. Usually, and I think to explain, and Nate will back me up, I think, on this. When you get this, evacuation orders come for a general area. So you can get an evacuation order and you're not in imminent danger of, you know, having your house flood. But there are areas that are in imminent danger, and there are other areas that, you know, you might not be in danger at your house, but you might not be able to get anywhere, you know, because the roads and stuff like that. So 3 times, though, where you go back and then you hop back out again, that's got to be a little scary, I would think.
Yeah, I mean, it's been crazy. I mean, it was a little over a week, maybe it was like 8 or 9 days, but yeah, close to a week. And yeah,
right.
New Year's Eve was actually pretty terrifying too. I mean, we started the new year off at a bang. Was the first of these initial floods of when we started almost breaking our levees, and we're Santa Cruz is a small town. We're about 60,000 people, and we're at the bottom of a really steep, but a little small, but very steep, rugged, potent rainforest mountain range. So when it comes down up there, it's just, it was like a hose. It was just this nonstop giant hose just dumping on these hills. And it's only got one way to go, and that's out the San Lorenzo. And it came within feet of being in my house and also within feet of breaking the levees, which would have been catastrophic for our town. It would have.
I mean, it would have wiped some houses off the hillside, right? I mean,
it could have wiped the whole town out. It could have been an absolute. It's really scary what's happening. I mean, this is the area where I live was considered a 100-year plain, and obviously that's not so much the case anymore.
What Nate's talking about, and I know all these terms because of the hurricanes we get down here, is the floodplain. A 100-year floodplain is that you're just, you know, as the insurance companies would look at it, you're unlikely to get the flood, you know, maybe once in a 100 years. That's what he's talking about.
And you also had to deal with the vampires in the '80s from The Lost Boys.
Yes. Right. Also bad.
Right. Santa Cruz.
Cool. There you go. Now, is that a little Santa Cruz shtick you're doing there?
Yeah.
When you're called upon to evacuate, particularly the first time, because it probably comes a little bit out of the blue, what do you grab? What do you take with you? What are the things you protect when you bail on your house?
Well, I'm a big motorcycle guy and a kind of an adventure camper guy, so I've got a really good kit ready to bug out at just about any time. Whenever I get any time off, I'm ready to go.
You look like you have high tea, like you got a lot going on.
Thanks
for the compliment.
You're killing me. You don't have like a 500 gallon gas tank under your house, do you?
No, I do not.
That's John.
You don't have an AK-47 that is drywalled into the wall.
No.
Okay, so yeah, I mean, I bet you're just an outdoorsman.
Yeah. Yeah. As Oscar says, he has a lot going on.
He's a driven man.
I float the idea, and my wife has, and you probably,
use a different verb, Mike, please.
Well, sorry about that. I talked to Carla. Carla loves California.
Yeah.
It's cold and it's damp. That's why the lady is a tramp. No, I think that with California, Carly's always said, you know, that's where we should go. And sometimes when I'm thinking about Florida and, you know, and I have pickup trucks going by me with F people, you know, flags, giant flags.
Yeah,
I think, wouldn't it be nice? But boy, California can just bite you in the butt, can't it? I mean, it just can, between mudslides and flooding and wildfires
and the Golden Globes,
earthquakes and the Golden Globes and Gerard Carmichael. Did I get the name right?
You did.
I still don't. Yeah. Anyhow, it's just, it can get really, really crazy. I want to talk about, because we're going to run out of time. I don't want to do that with you. Your new gig, because I have no idea what it is. After working in high tech and the defense industry for years, you took your current job, a fire alarm supervisor for the University of California, Santa Cruz. This is how dumb a guy I am, Nate. All right. When I read that description, a fire alarm shop supervisor for the University of California, I picture a guy standing next to like the a classroom where the fire alarm is. And we go, it's okay now. I know it's more than that. You've done a lot of cool things.
Safety.
What is a fire alarm shop supervisor? What does that do? What do you do?
Actually, Mike, you pretty much nailed it. No, I'm just kidding. we have a huge alarm system up there. It's a really large campus. It's one of the bigger and one of the most beautiful campuses in the country. It's an absolute gorgeous place. And we're also right in the middle of a forest. We're in the middle of the redwoods. So fire alarms and evacuation and life safety systems are absolutely some extremely important and highly funded. And I have a really good team of people up there. The job listing came out and it was just perfect time. It was right when I just decided I was done in defense industry. I hated what I was doing. I just didn't like where I was. And this came up and I had a couple friends working up there and it all worked out. And it's been a great thing. And it's surprising. It's surprising how much work actually goes into a large fire alarm of that scale.
We feel the same way about this show. You sit here and if you make it look easy, you just don't realize the work. You know, you win when there aren't issues, essentially.
Yeah, right. I mentioned again, if anyone had been with us 10 minutes before we went to air, you know.
There would have been some alarms.
Yeah. We need some government funding.
Pony just adds it to the archives of the Mike O'Mara tapes.
Oh,
that will someday be released with his own podcast. This is June 3rd, 2017, when Mike was not happy with the audio quality of the show. No, it goes on.
He melted
and
down,
on.
But then he was nice.
Yes, mm-hmm. yes.
Yeah. I mean, it's craziness here sometimes with what we do. And so you listened to the radio show back in the day, right? And then hopped onto the podcast a year ago. And I'm always fascinated because one of the things we don't have is the budget to let the world know we're here. And I think it would pick up a few hundred thousand listeners if
Agreed.
We were able to put a national ad out and say, hey, remember us? So I'm curious, when you joined in a year ago, how does one find us so late after the run of the Don and Mike show? I'm always curious about that.
You know, I think I don't remember exactly, but I think I Googled it or I just stumbled upon it.
Like
I think
TikTok,
I Googled
social
it.
Media, something came up in your feed.
Oscar's writing this down. Oscar's taking the notes right now.
I don't think
now.
So, Oscar. I don't think anything came up on my feed. Like, maybe on YouTube?
Did you miss? Were you like, I miss talk radio? Were we on some goat weed ad that we forgot we did years ago? We were selling our souls.
I've never really been a talk radio guy. You know, I just the old show and this show just always cracked me up. And I really just like the way you guys, all of your take on how the world's going. And I honestly can't remember exactly how I found it. But as soon as I did, it was boom. Okay, here we go. This is my morning tradition Love now.
It. That's so Love cool. It.
So you're single and you. Never married. I picture, and I hope I'm right, I picture the way you look right now and that house that I'm looking at, that somewhere there is a dog that looks like the Brad Pitt dog in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. That, you know, you can go...
I don't know.
And the dog will attack. I knew it.
He has there a lot going on.
Let me say, there's the dog.
I knew it'd be a dog like that. Yeah. That's awesome.
That's a great dog.
He doesn't have a chihuahua.
He doesn't have a chihuahua. Oh, pet, sad pet day. We'll get to that later in the O'Mara household. No. All right, well, we got to run. Is there anybody you want to say hello to before we let you go? And it's been fascinating talking to you. I really wish you nothing but the best out there and all of our California listeners. More listeners in that state than anywhere for the show. And we really wish them all well. Anybody you want to say hello to before we let you go or you simply wash away?
Yeah, I mean, no one in particular. I really would just like to just say thank you to all of the infrastructure workers out there who are working every day and putting themselves on the line and putting themselves in dangerous situations to keep us all safe. And
amen.
I feel like they're unsung heroes and I really just appreciate everything they do. And they don't get nearly enough recognition for all the help. That they provide
you're
for us.
You're a great guy and really fascinating talking to you about everything you guys are dealing with out there. Nate, stay safe and don't be a stranger. And I love that the dog call was right on my part. I was so happy about that. Thank you very much, Nate. We got to take a break here, ladies and gentlemen. When we come back, we are going to have the homepage. And then a little later on, I will tell you all about the sad times in the pet world in the O'Mara household. It's just a drag. This is therapy for me, folks. We'll be right back.
Down the Mississippi, down in the bar.
Well, I'm going to New Orleans.
City of New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
Of New Orleans.
New Orleans.
Way down yonder in New Orleans.
The town in New Orleans.
I'm walking to New Orleans.
In New Orleans.
The Mike
Michael Mara Show live Saturday, April 15th, 2023 at the legendary House of Blues in New Orleans.
How y'all are? I'm glad for you to see me. I guarantee.
Tickets available now at MichaelMaraShow.com.
Ain't it bitchin'?
Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show. What's the first thing you do when you wake up? Is it checking up on your credit score? I didn't think so. But at Chime, that's exactly what they do. With their secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card, you can start to build credit with your own money. Mm. Chime reports your payments to credit bureaus to help you build credit over time. Their members see an increase of 30 points on average. All of this with no annual fees, no large security deposits, or any credit checks to apply. So, start your credit journey with Chime. Sign up takes only 2 minutes, folks, and it doesn't affect your credit score. Get started at chime.com/TMOS. That's chime.com/TMOS. The Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card is issued by Stride Bank N.A. pursuant to a license from Visa USA. Chime checking account and $200 qualifying direct deposit required to apply for the secured Chime Credit Builder Visa credit card. Regular on-time payment history can have a positive impact on your credit score. Impact to score may vary and some users' scores may not improve. Out-of-network ATM withdrawal fees may apply except at MoneyPass ATMs in the 7-Eleven or at any Allpoint or Visa Plus Alliance ATMs.
Get it.
From the nice. Corners of the World Wide Web and into your digital device. It's what you need to know. This is the homepage.
This is the homepage, ladies and gentlemen. And Ben Affleck and Jennifer Lopez teaming up again, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, boy.
Now, I don't know what to expect. I can be hopeful. But they appear to be working together on a Super Bowl commercial. And I know, like, Geely or whatever that horrible movie
I
they
believe
were
you
in.
It was spelled Giggly, but I think it is Geely.
Geely. So this could be funny because the one thing Ben Affleck knows about is Boston.
Yes.
He knows his Boston. And he was spotted working the drive-through at a Dunkin' Donuts in Boston yesterday. I remember on Saturday Night Live, Casey Affleck did a Dunkin' Donuts parody commercial. It was one of the funniest things I ever saw.
It's a big deal up there, isn't it? It's like a go-to place.
Well, donuts are in New England. Yeah, that's
but
all
my,
we have.
My brother was not a Dunkin', as he likes to call it. He corrected me that it's not Dunkin' Donuts anymore. Mm-hmm. It's nice to be able to visit him at the Cape. He's like, you want to go to
Dunkin'?
You want to go to Dunkin'? And I said, no, I don't want to go to Dunkin'. Isn't there like a mom and pop place around here? We can go get a cup of coffee?
Yeah. I was doing some deep diving on the Beaties last night.
Yeah.
I may never eat another donut. Anyway.
Did my name come up in the research?
Wow. It's like, boy, our blood. He was spotted working. How are your kidneys doing today, Rob?
Oh, God.
Ben was spotted working the drive-thru at Dunkin' Donuts, and Jennifer was his customer, one of his customers. Sounds like not everyone who went through his line was a plant. A woman named Lisa Mackey said she was served by Ben and then signed a form allowing him to use video of her in the ad. She said Ben was, quote, incredibly funny and quick-witted. And if he's doing the Dunkin', it's just that Affleck crew, I think they love mocking Dunkin' Donuts, it's funny.
They did it in Medford.
Hey there, I'm Sandy Medford. Mack. He was incredibly funny.
Oh, fantastic.
Very funny he was, Ben Affleck.
I love Casey Affleck in Saturday Night Live where he's hanging halfway out the door smoking his cigarette. That's spectacular. Gwen Stefani appropriated Japanese culture pretty heavily during the Harajuku, I should say, but she doesn't see it as a bad thing. In a new interview with Allure magazine, she says, quote, that when she first visited Japan, she had a revelation. She said, my God, I'm Japanese, and I didn't know it at all. She added, quote, if people are going to criticize me for being a fan of something beautiful and sharing that, then I just think that doesn't feel right. I think it was a beautiful time of creativity. It should be okay to be inspired by other cultures, because if we're not allowed, then that's dividing people, right? Interestingly, the woman conducting the interview was Asian, and she said, quote, I don't believe Stefani was trying to be malicious or hurtful in making these statements, but words don't have to be hostile in their intent in order to potentially cause harm. I'll leave it there. Formulate your own opinion.
I remember seeing Gwen Stefani in the halls of WHFS when No Doubt came and visited. That was a cool part about being young and in music radio when you see artists.
Sure. Not, oh, it's a lot. And I did the same thing back in the 80s.
Yeah, not just meet them, but you were like, oh my, no doubt.
Was she really tall?
What?
Do you remember? Was she short? What was she like?
She was tall and blonde, to me at least.
She's so pretty. So beautiful.
No, I sat there.
Why did you ask that question?
That was really awkward.
I don't know.
Where did that come from? Well, your wife is tall, and I'm just wondering if that's your horny point or something like that.
I don't mind a tall woman.
But I mean, I'm just curious. Is that why you asked? Would that help your fantasy along? If she was, are you attracted to Gwen Stefani?
Yes. I think she's gorgeous.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I almost throw up in my mouth when you say gorgeous. I don't know why, but I would like to really make out with her. Okay, that's
kiss her for hours.
Yuck.
Thank you.
We could hug.
All right, now on to the Gronk. I have an insight on this that I will offer at the end of this story. Rob Gronkowski seems like a guy who would never turn down a good groping, but like everyone else and everything else, there's a right time and a wrong time. He says, quote, I appreciate my fans loving me, but when they start touching me and patting me on the back, I just like my space. This is a football player thing.
Yeah.
A big, strapping football player. Every guy in the world wants to go up and slam you on the bay. I am very surprised that I'm on Team Gronk here. But football players, I think athletes, get smacked on the back. Like, hey, tough guy.
Yeah.
That people want to do that. I did it to a very famous football player who got annoyed at one point, you know,
and then
tapped me back on the back in a very hard way. And I got the impression that was, he was kind of mocking me doing it, but I knew it was like, oh, I get it. He adds, quote, you just have absolutely no clue who the people are. That's my little pet peeve for sure. I mean, I don't flip out or anything. I just ask politely sometimes, hey, can I just get my space? Because people want to come up and go, hey, Gronk, Gronk. Hey, Gronk, how are you? Come over to Dunkin' Donuts.
But, you know, this is also, this is Gronk pulling a Tom Hanks on us because he's in that movie 80 for Brady.
Oh, okay. So he's promoting
that. That movie didn't age well.
Yeah.
Rob sniffs out those little publicist runs that they do.
With no mention of the movie, and yet he's in this story.
That's fascinating. I agree.
Will you see that movie, Mike? I know you're a big Tampa Bay fan. No,
I know you turned down the role.
I did. Yes, they said. They, you know, I can't lose that much weight in that shorter period of
time. They wanted you to be the Lily Tomlin character.
Yeah. If you can find me a vat of Mongero.
By the way, you didn't comment on my Liverpool hat.
I love it.
That's my Liverpool football club.
Not a fan.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Can I see the back with the Jerry Lewis thing?
No, you can't, because you'd have to see my hair.
Well, you could just spin it.
I don't want to spin it. I don't want to.
Okay. Then you mustn't.
All right. Thank you. Like all days, they start out like poop and end up making me laugh. That's the way it goes. A woman on TikTok said there's a trick that she uses anytime she can't remember someone's name. I give you this story. This is about the dumbest thing I have read in the last 6 months, and I'm not kidding you. All right, here's her hack, an overused word.
It's a life hack.
Instead of admitting she can't remember, she throws out this fake factoid. She says to somebody, do you know it's really hard to say your own name three times fast? Really? This is going viral. The idea is that they'll automatically try it and you'll know their name.
It's January.
Duh.
Yeah.
It is so January right now.
It is.
And it's going to get worse.
Worst.
It's going to get worse.
Worst.
Yeah, it is going to get worse.
It's going to get worse next month.
Yes.
Worst. In theory, it might work, but if I don't care, I'm not even going to talk about it anymore. It's stupid.
Watch this.
Yeah.
Hi, how are you? Good
to see you again. You know, I read that if you... God, duh.
Oscar. Mm. Yes.
Yeah.
Pizza.
Hey, that was
really
great.
Yeah. I'm not buying it.
Oh, Monty.
All right.
You can also use an even more obvious one, which is, how do you say your first name again? And there's always something like Jack.
Bob. According to the analytics firm Inrix, the average U.S. driver spent 51 hours sitting in traffic last year, 15 hours more than in 2021. Congratulations.
Yep.
But still about 50% less than the pre-pandemic high of 99 hours in 2019. So there's that. Not all cities were equal. And even though L.A. is notorious for its congestion, the traffic in Chicago was the worst.
Really?
So Chicago takes the top prize. Drivers there spent 155 hours stuck on jammed roads. Boston was the second worst at 134 hours. New York City, third worst, followed by Philly, Miami, San Francisco, LA at 7, then Washington, D.C., Houston, and Atlanta, where drivers wasted 74 hours in traffic, less than half of Chicago. They actually looked at congestion and mobility trends in more than 1,000 cities across 50 countries, and the most congested city overall? Anyone? Anyone?
Oh, God.
This is worldwide.
Worldwide?
Mumbai.
No, I wouldn't say Mumbai.
Good guess, though. I would have done that, too.
Rome.
London.
Really?
Yes. People spent 156 hours in traffic. Chicago was number two worldwide. That's a lot of traffic. I didn't know it was Chicago. I never thought of Chicago in that term. Yeah. You know, but that's what it is.
That's why it took me so long to get back.
Back? When did you get back? Well, I'm going to go down to Fort Myers.
What?
I'm going to go down to Fort Myers. Yeah. No, we left the Camry in the garage. Yeah. We left the Camry in the garage. Yeah, thank you. Back.
Now a little something, something. A new study out of China says there is a link between Pepsi and male pattern baldness.
Aha! Uh-huh.
Not just Pepsi, but all sugar-sweetened beverages. Soft drinks, juice, sports drinks, energy drinks, and sweetened coffee and tea. Researchers in Beijing found that men who indulged in just one soda per day had a 57% higher risk of experiencing male pattern hair loss compared to those who avoided them. Just 1 to 3 sugary drinks per week saw a 21% increase in the risk of hair loss. That said, the findings are considered correlative, meaning that the researchers can't report that soda caused hair loss, only that soda drinkers are losing their hair at higher rates. This also isn't the first time that sugar and male pattern baldness have been linked. Previous studies have found that high sugar intake leads to an increase in blood glucose, which can start a chain reaction that results in the shrinking of hair follicles and potentially early baldness. All I know is Rob Spiewak, Jim Amato, and Joel Rogers have had to cancel their scheduled Mountain Dew social in New Orleans when we go down there. Thank you. Thank
next
you
slot, next year's live show is going to be in Istanbul, Turkey. And we're all going to get
fat hair.
Fat hair.
Yeah.
Fat hair. Ooh, yes. I love fat hair.
Like
fat hair.
Thinking fat hair. Like our talking head. High
yeah.
tea.
Yeah. Oh, high
a lot
tea.
Lot going on.
We'll be right back.
Hey, come here. Buy from Vince's Warehouse and get free gumballs.
Gumballs.
Anybody can sell you what they think you want, but if you need new tires for your ride or the sweet, satisfying pick-me-up of a gumball, you can't miss shopping online through the shopping center at MikeOmaraShow.com. Target and Walmart has what you're looking for. Have it shipped to your door or pick it up at the store. You can't lose because you help support TMOS. And here's something else to chew on.
Gumballs and tires, he can't miss. Trust me. Get out of there.
That's a memory.
Trust me was the catchphrase, wasn't it?
What's that?
The catchphrase that you wanted to catch on was trust me.
Yeah, trust me. if you need a New Year's resolution idea.
That was Mike's Where's the Beef or You Look Marvelous. Okay. Trust me.
If you need a New Year's resolution idea, I have a suggestion. Stop putting it off and finally get life insurance. It's necessary.
You
it's
need
helpful.
It.
You know, think of others, please. Fabric by Gerber Life is the easy all-online solution you've been waiting for. Fabric's new lower price could mean big savings over the other providers with great quality policies, like $1 million in coverage for less than $1 a day. It takes less than 10 minutes to apply, see your quote, and then tailor your quote to fit your family's needs. Mm. Fabric by Gerber Life was designed by parents for parents to help you get a high quality, surprisingly affordable term life insurance policy in less than 10 minutes. You could be offered coverage instantly with no health exam required. Protect your family today with Fabric by Gerber Life. Apply today in just 10 minutes at meetfabric.com/TMOS. That's meetfabric.com/TMOS. MEET fabric.com/TMOS.
Peace of mind.
Policies issued by Western Southern Life Assurance Company. Not available in certain states. Prices subject to underwriting and health questions. And whenever I hear Gerber Life, I think, you'll prolong your life by eating baby food.
That's right. Well, it's the same Gerber company because they care about families. Okay. Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I learned something every day.
Trust me.
Trust me.
This could be.
Trust me.
That's still great.
The peace of mind is unbelievable.
Can't do that voice anymore. All right, so this is me, and this is when I go to my wonderful friends, Rob and Oscar. Really, two of the best things that have ever happened to me is coming across these guys, and I don't say it often enough. But a lot of times when I come in here and I do this show, I you know, because you guys are my best buds, and every day I get to talk to you, I have to get your analysis, your psychoanalysis right. on me, because you know me well. You've known me a long time. Here it is. So we have these pets in our house. We have Winslow, the Boston Terrier, mm-hmm. Frankie, the long-haired Chihuahua, Jake, the snake, and then we have Miles, the fish. Miles, the fish, has done really well. He's, I think, called a beta fish.
Oh, yeah, just the little guy. Yeah.
So Miles is 3 years old.
Has he grown? Has Miles grown? Because they're very tiny when you get them. They stay small.
Well, Miles is no longer chugging along.
Oh, dear.
But he's also not done yet.
Never say
die. It's horrible. Yeah. It's so horrible. And I'm sitting there. He seems to be sucking wind last night. And, you know, and so he's moving slowly and he looks bloated and he's kind of coming up to the surface, and I was like, well, we might need to change the water. So Michael says that right before bed, and I go flying into this thing where we're trying to get his water changed and get the conditioner in there for the water and maybe accelerate the time you would normally let that go through. Now, listen, fish heads out there, all you fish folk, please don't send me an email on what I could have done or what I couldn't have done. But anyway, the long story short is that I'm stunned at how I feel about this. I have no, this fish, I've adopted a lot of the caretaking for these pets.
Sure.
And I slipped a little bit with Miles. I think I should have changed his tank and his gravel out more frequently than I did. And so I
what
feel
was your
guilt.
Cadence?
What's that? Well, I don't even know. I couldn't even tell you. But I mean, it was
he was raising him for
mean.
Food.
Don't be mean. I'm pouring my heart out to you.
I thought he could swim through the cloudy water.
That's
like the
cloudy.
Ocean. Yeah, yeah, it's cloudy like the ocean.
The salt water.
It's got a regulator in there.
Just like
you know,
the bay.
It's got it sucks. Why am I feeling so horrible about this?
About a $2 fish.
About a $2 fish.
Well, because you're a humanitarian.
Yeah.
I just, it's silly. I don't need this. I don't need this in my life.
You should have said, Michael, if you're not going to take care of him, he's going to die. This is a lesson.
He's going to die.
I'm not a monster.
He's going to die.
It's but the thing is, so last night, I'm turning in after the horrible Golden Globes. And I said, I'll do one walk out to the kitchen where we have the tank now.
Right.
Because we changed the water. And he's down at the bottom of the tank and like looks like he's leaning over into one of his little plastic.
He's so tired.
And I said, oh, he's gone. And I said, okay, I'll reach out. So I reach down with the net and I get down there and he goes,
yeah.
And he takes
off. When they die, they come to the top, I think.
Well, no, he's dead. Well, then he's still down at the bottom as of this morning.
Okay.
And then I reached in with the net again, thinking he's really gone, and he swims away again.
Yeah.
This is horrible. Is this the
is Miles named after the character in Sideways?
Miles.
Jack!
Miles is probably sitting at the bottom of that tank being like, man, I had a better situation and a better setup in Flint, Michigan.
the Flint water?
With the water cloth.
Yeah.
I'm not flushing him down the toilet while he's
alive. Well,
no, you can't while he's alive. No.
What?
Just put him in a new tank.
Or a bowl.
Get an emergency tank. You can get a hospital tank.
I've already changed the water out. He's in clean water.
Yeah, but you...
But the gravel and the plant, maybe he just needs a fresh start.
Yeah. Don't put him out the pasture.
You are so dripping with insincerity.
No,
your eyes are smiling at me, Rob.
No, they're not.
They're smiling. It's just like, maybe he needs a new tank.
No, I mean, if he's alive and he's holding on, I mean, it's not like fish have a long...
I don't think I could bring him back.
I don't think fish have a long deterioration.
I think 3 years, I think, is a pretty spectacular run.
Yeah, but I don't think
he's going to... Why doesn't somebody look up how long can beta fish?
Okay. Yeah. You should have bought a VHS fish. They last longer.
Betamax. That's a Betamax.
That's
joke
a horrible joke.
And I got it. Here we go.
Yeah. You have to laugh or you cry.
5 years.
Oh.
You're cutting him down in his prime.
I thought that it would be much shorter than five.
God damn it.
But I mean,
those brilliantly colored fins and various tail types.
Okay. You can't let them go. All right. This is worse. Yeah. I feel horrible about this.
Now, how does Michael feel about it?
And by the way, to pet store down here in Fort Myers, when I'm trying to get a live mouse for Jake, okay, after 6 months of running out of mice every fucking Tuesday, do you think maybe you're making money on these? And maybe if you stocked more of them, you nerd dork slackers?
Mike, you're deflecting.
I am deflecting, but Jesus, every Tuesday, we're out. Yeah, you're out every week. Why not get a few more? So because you're obviously the only game in town.
To New
for
York
Christ's
City
sake.
For or DC, pick them up.
Yeah, they're running in the streets.
No, he can't eat the big rats like
well,
that.
You'd have to serve him a partial. God.
Yeah. That's when I know it. I do a deep dive on.
Get him some dough.
A deep dive on social media. Where last night my mind went dark. Last night, totally dark. Right. I'm watching live mink killing rat videos. Wow. Where they got this guy that goes out to the farm and he brings a live mink that kills the rats.
Wow.
Apparently, minks are really good at killing rats. I'm not normal. Like, I think I've got a balance. I think I'm going insane.
Then they become a coat.
I think I'm going totally insane.
Now, really how does Michael feel about Miles?
He's sad. He's a kid. He's 9 years old.
Could
He's nine
you
years
conceivably?
Old. I'm not. Carla wanted me, woke me up, whispered in my ear today because she's doing drive duty this morning. So I was able to stay in the marital bed a little longer. And she comes over while I got my little mask on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Luke, I am your father. Luke,
I am your father. And she says, honey. And I'm like,
yes, Carla. What do you want?
She says, I need to go to the pet store and get another betta fish today because I think he's dying.
Oh.
And that's when I went out this morning and I checked and he was down at the bottom.
Yeah.
But then I touched him and he's still there. I just
Do you have a first aid kit for your fish?
What's a first aid kit?
They actually sell them in a little box.
It's to be a really tiny Band-Aid.
I'm going to send you the link.
Shut up. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it. Stop it.
I actually, I like Carla's idea of swapping out the fish.
Yeah, I know that would be your idea because you're a grifter. I
am trying to preserve the.
No, I'm not going to lie to my kid. I'm going to say we have a new one, but if he dies, my son's going to be told the truth. What is there really?
I just sent you six ways to save a dying betta fish. The internet has everything.
I'll stop the show.
And there's apparently a little first aid kit for fish they sell in the store. The number first one.
What's in it?
I'm gonna pull it up for you.
Yeah,
I've never really had. I think I had one like fair fish, goldfish, and that died fairly quickly, and that was it when I was a kid.
You know what? When I first started with Mike 30 years ago, they had a saltwater fish tank in their office that busted, and it made WJFK smell like filth for a long time because they had a huge tank. So that's the last experience I think I've had with fish. Julia has brought home fish before, but they always last about 2 days.
All right, I'm blasting out of here to the pet store like immediately after the show.
This is a nice playbook, right?
Yeah, it's a good.
What does it say to do?
Thank you. You see what he did? Look what he did. Look what he did for me just there. Just on a little tub of, and you're going, maybe a Band-Aid.
Just padding.
That's the difference, right there.
The difference is
really
that I regret now saying replace him.
Now
I regret that.
Yeah, I regret it. I regret it too, Mr. Man. How dare you? I'm going to bring you to the house and I'm going to hobble you.
Yeah, I'll be down, Mike. I'll be down by the bush, keeping very still at the bottom of the tank until you come at me with
you
the
did.
Net.
Earlier this year, you were at the bottom.
I was right by the bush.
That's for sure. We got you a rescue kit. We'll be right back, everybody.
More Delta.
That's the house.
And the whole fraternity system is guilty.
Isn't that
an indictment
of our educational systems in general?
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
Now, the Greek letters point. Do you know what the symbol is for the fraternity?
Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor?
I know the name of the fraternity, but I don't know what the letters are that correspond to.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
I didn't know. I think I don't. I can't tell you whether I think I knew or not.
Take it from Vaughn Leibowitz and pledge the funniest fraternity on campus. It's O'Mara House.
Fatal Otis!
Jesus!
Get a TMOS bonus show subscription by clicking the link at MikeOMaraShow.com. Sign up today with liberty and fraternity for all.
Amen. Welcome back to the Mike O'Mara Show, everybody. Got the name of the show today, Rob. Death in the Tank.
Death in the Tank.
What's your New Year's? But I'm going to try.
Question
I'm
mark.
Race out question. There. Yes.
With a question mark.
Death in the Tank?
Yeah.
Question mark. Thank you. What's your New Year's resolution? If you're like most of us, there is a box of home movies and photos tucked in a closet that you have been meaning to preserve, but you weren't sure where to start. Legacy Box makes it easy. Simply send in your Legacy Box filled with home movies and photos. Get back digital copies that can be easily enjoyed, shared, and organized. It's like magic. Legacy Box is a super simple mail-in service to have all of your videotapes, camcorder tapes, film reels, and pictures converted to perfectly preserved digital files. Plus, Legacy Box is the industry leader and has helped over a million customers safeguard their past. It's the simplest way to preserve your precious memories, and it's so easy, they do it for you.
Yes.
And you can check it off, that New Year's resolution. Rob got the wedding pictures, the birth of his kids.
So great.
My parents' honeymoon, baby videos
baby Oscar.
Of Oscar. He's
little
adorable.
Itty, tiny. He's down by the bush.
Kick off the new year by rescuing your family's most cherished memories. Visit LegacyBox.com/TMOS to take advantage of this exclusive offer. That's LegacyBox.com/TMOS. Welcome back to
Down
the
by
show.
The Shrub.
Mike.
Down by the Shrub.
I'm going to scoot. I apologize to you and the audience.
Yes, you have a pre. We were running a little late while we had a meltdown.
Good luck with Miles. And have a great rest of the show.
Thank you very much.
Do you have anything to say to the listener?
Ciao, ciao.
Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Now it's time for a... this is fascinating. I always like to think of what the... there are certain examples in pop culture of predictions that were made about what the future will... Sometimes it's done with movies.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's done with novels. Sometimes it's done with sci-fi. You know,
some of them are horrifying. Books. Like, we've already had the date pass that was in Back to the Future 2.
Right.
I mean, that was, and that looked like a million years away.
And time flies. And I think, in terms of when you see something like a 1984, you hear the word Orwellian used again and again. Rob found a 1923 list of predictions about what it would be like. Now?
In 2023. They said, what's it going to be like in 100 years?
Okay.
Now, they got some of them right. They said, for example, constant airline traffic. They got that right. Okay.
That is correct.
They said that America's population will exceed 300 million people. That's true.
Yep.
And they said, and this had to be so crazy, I think 1923, they said, you'll be able to talk to people through your wristwatch. Well, guess what? You can do
that's
that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
That's very, very cool.
Some
like
of
that.
Them are not dead on, though.
Okay. This is the Roaring Twenties.
The Roaring Twenties. That's right.
Pre-stock market crash.
That's right. America was at cresting at a fun time.
And by the way, said, can I just offer one thing
please.
Before you start your list of
offer
things?
Offer this, yes.
Do you believe that in 1923 they would have had any idea that... the 2020s would suck this much?
No, I don't think they do. They did say that they thought the Golden Globes would be a failure, though.
Thanks, Gerard.
Okay, number one, they predicted in 1923.
God, nice camera work, Phony. My God, that was terrifying.
What happened?
Oh, I just switched the camera he sees
he
to just show you.
He did a switch of the camera. It's like, yeah. Wow, looks like a bad local TV news show. Go ahead, Rob. Sorry
they said that in 1923, they said that in 2023, people will work a maximum of 4 hours a day. No more hard work by 2023, read the headline.
Well, I have to say, Rob, I think that you're talking about, what was the story that I saw last night on the news? Robert Iger.
Yes.
Forcing the Disney employees no longer, that they have to come back to work because a lot of them are working from home. He's such a stain.
I like to call him, Mike.
Typical,
I like to call him Bob Iger.
Bob Iger.
Because he's a good guy.
I'm Bob Iger. Tough guy. Come back to work. I'll straighten them out.
But this is curious. The reason they said that no one would be working more than 4 hours was electricity. Because in 1923, less than half of the United States homes had electricity.
Okay.
That's amazing if you think only 100 years ago.
All right, go ahead.
You'll love this one, Mike. They said in 1923 that today there would be no ugly people. And because of this, beauty contests would become obsolete.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man, oh man.
Do you think as a rule, I know we're taller, do you think as a rule we're better looking than we were 100 years ago?
Why don't you drive out to Manassas and have lunch today?
I think I will.
Okay, go ahead.
All right. They predicted 100 years ago that women will paint their teeth black to be fashionable.
That's just throwing a dart at a board, in my opinion. But in 1923, didn't they still have black teeth, right?
Because well, some of them. Yeah, but also, horrible. I mean, now what we whiten our teeth. They not only got it wrong, they got it wrong 180 degrees.
Yeah, they got the wrong color. Okay. Oh, those silly people.
They said that gasoline would be replaced by radio waves and that our automobiles would be powered by radio waves.
That's almost, that to me is a prediction of electric cars.
Yeah, I
That's
suppose.
That's very similar to that. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So you think in terms of that they're getting them wrong. I think there's shades of difference where they're saying gas will no longer be what we're using and we're slowly
getting away from it. Yeah.
Off
yeah,
fossil
I see
fuels.
That. Okay, I can yeah. see that. They said that the average life expectancy in 2023 would be 100. Another expert said that the average life expectancy in 2023 would be 300.
I think this is sad. And I think that has COVID, what's the average? We had it on the show yesterday, 73 and 79 for women, 73
the arithmetic, the arithmetic mean is 76 men and women combined.
Really?
Yeah. Okay. So that's the average.
All right. I thought it said 73 yesterday in the United States.
I think it's 73 for men, 79 for women. Yeah. The average life expectancy in 1923 was 57, okay. which is not great. But right now, the oldest living person is 119. And here's where I still have a little faith in this, is that you and I, we still have, I have 50 years before I get to the hundreds. So maybe something will change in 50 years. And Mike has six. Exactly. Right. So we'll see.
Thank you.
They predicted 100 years ago that flying from Chicago to Germany would only take 18 hours. They were wrong. It's 9 hours now.
Well, and I saw a program about supersonic flight where there's a company designing a business jet now that is supersonic that will be something very spectacular. Still haven't made a tremendous amount of progress in rolling out, or I don't know the timetable for rolling out a large passenger liner for supersonic, but there's still... They're still struggling.
There's now a supersonic jet. I think it starts next month, and it flies from Washington Dulles to BWI. And
it's such a quick flight.
It is really quick. You barely have time to finish your drink.
Yeah, hardly 2 hours.
They predicted 100 years ago cancer would be eradicated. This is not true, but we're getting closer.
And they have eradicated a lot of them, and they've done that. So that's good. This is better. This is a better list than I expected.
Yeah, I like this list a lot.
Who did this? Who were the people
that did
this?
They gathered it up. This was gathered on Reddit and Twitter and a website called Boing Boing actually collated all of these predictions.
I thought you were just going to say Mary Pickford did these. Go ahead.
Speaking of cancer, do you know that in the 3 years... When Robert was diagnosed with leukemia, they give you what is called a roadmap, and it breaks it down almost daily to what happens to him the next 3 years. A week later, a friend of his that he made through the hospital was diagnosed. His roadmap was different. The technology changed in 7 days, after 3 years, the technology had really changed. So cancer is constantly advancing, and I can't wait. I can't wait to see where we are in just 10 more years.
One of the other predictions in 1923 said insurance companies would continue to F us.
That's very true. And paint your teeth black.
Yeah, exactly.
Mike, in 2023, they predicted 100 years ago that homes won't have kitchens anymore.
And that's it? Just let it hang
there?
They
said we would make food using chemical formulas that we wouldn't need to cook. It would just be formulas of food.
Ceviche.
Yeah, exactly. Cooking with acid.
All right, we got a few more. Give us your highlights here.
Okay, I've got two more. I've only two more. They said that in this 2023, telepathy will exist.
No, I mean, it will, but it'll be on like silly talk shows like Aileen Cunningham.
She's a carny.
Come on, mama.
Mama.
Yep.
And the last one, Mike.
By the way, if you're just a new listener, Aline Cunningham was our psychic that we used to have on the old show.
And Mike, what happens between you and the lady stays between you and the lady.
Stop that. Behave yourself.
Thank you. This is my favorite one. They predicted 100 years ago that in 2023, we would have kidney koozies. That's not the term they use, but that's essentially what they are. They were little jackets or coats that would go around your internal organs inside you to keep them warm and healthy. So they would actually wrap your kidney the way they would wrap like a beer koozie.
Didn't you get a couple of those in March or April of last
they
year?
They tried, but they couldn't find a koozie that was big enough.
Okay, this can't fit. Can't fit around, but look at you now.
They said we have to leave it untucked.
Untucked. Yes, sir. Leave it zipped open. Right. We got to take a break. When we come back, we will have the Town of Sound.
Yes.
And by the way, we have a new closing theme that I think you're going to enjoy, too. You didn't hear that at the beginning of the show when we were all fighting. We'll be right back. I picked myself up a little soy milk latte and my wife a cafe grande.
Yeah.
Starbucks. I hear through the speaker that it's the sing-songy guy.
Good morning. It's a beautiful day. My name's Trent. Welcome to Starbucks. What can I do you for, big guy?
Well, I think I'll have a venti soy milk latte.
Awesome. Can I get you a cake pop?
Would you like a cake pop?
Or
cake
how about pop. I tell you about my favorite podcast?
Tell your friends, wake the kids, and phone the neighbors. Let them all know about your favorite podcast, The Mike O'Mara Show. It's TMOS's new listener initiative for 2023. Join the party. The more, the merrier.
Let your Trent flag fly, and that's fine.
Welcome back to The Mike O'Mara Show. January means resolutions, fitness goals, and lifestyle changes. But if you really want to put the new you to the test, Harry's can help. Here's Orleans on WAVA. Anyway, no, it's a loop. Whether you want to go from a Bigfoot to competitive swimmer or be the innovator who brings back the soul patch.
Nice!
Harry's has the tools for your closest, cleanest shave ever. I cannot begin to tell you how much I love Harry's.
The best.
I love the fact that they advertise with us on the Mike O'Mara Show. I love the fact that I've got 20 of their products in my shower. I love it. We all use Harry's on the show. I was a razor, electric razor guy for a long, long time. I went back to razors when Harry's came along because we all love them and they're all fantastic. I have all the things and stuff. And right now, the Truman Shave trial set is a $15 value for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. It includes a 5-blade German engineered razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover. Plus, you can schedule replacement blade delivery whenever you need them with refills as low as $2 each. Harry's blades are made in their own factory in Chilmany, and they hold up better than ever. Guys who tried them say their eighth shave is as sharp as their first, and I'm here to tell you, I use Harry's every day, and they are absolutely correct.
You cannot dull the blade. You can't do it.
I've never thrown out a blade because it was literally dull. I just don't.
Yeah, you're right.
Put the new ones in because I want them. They're fantastic. If you don't like your shave, no worries. It's on them. No matter how new your new you is, look sharp all year long with Harry's. Get a $15 Truman Shave Trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/TMOS. That's harrys.com/TMOS for a $3 trial set, people.
Sound.
We call this stereophonic sound.
Sound Town.
I'm not a fan of the gender reveal party.
Me neither.
A lot of times it causes damage. I've seen explosions. I've seen fires.
Yep.
But this one I like. And the guy's getting a lot of grief online. I think he put it on the TikTok.
Okay.
What he did is he put everyone in the bathroom and dyed the color of the water in the tank to when he flushed it. If it was blue, it was a boy. And if it was pink, it was a girl.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Oh.
1.
It was a boy, a little Philippines boy.
And may your first child be a masculine child.
But you see, that doesn't endanger anybody. And also, you can tell if your tank is leaking.
If you really wanted to pull a fast one, somebody's like, it's brown.
Not only is it a girl, she's going to be a brownie.
And she's going to like the, ladies and gentlemen, she's going to like going to the games and sitting in the upper deck. That's right, an upper decker. By the way, if you don't know what an upper decker is, and that's the joke we're referring to.
Yes.
An upper decker is a horrible party stunt. And I do not in any way advocate doing this at any party. But
no.
The joke goes like this. You go to a person's house that you might have an issue with, and you relieve yourself. You do a number two, but not in the bowl. You put it in the tank behind the bowl, and then you just leave. And then imagine the fun when they every time they fill. You know, I'm thinking about that. That would be a pretty cruel trick because it would fill up with new water.
Yeah. Oh, so it's not. It's a long running gag. It's not a one and done.
Now.
Yeah.
I just thought of that now.
I don't know that I have the flexibility to do it.
You know what? I probably could. I probably could.
If you were driven, yeah. I mean, I could
was truly
if I
motivated,
had to. Yeah.
You know, yeah, risk of injury.
Yeah.
You never know.
All right. Thank you.
Good luck, but don't do that. Thank you. That's a nice transition music that we're going to have to switch to from the brown water to something else now.
Mike, when you talk good parents, every now and then one rises to the top.
Okay.
And this is in North Carolina. Have you ever seen the, they're like, it's like a cylinder of almost like a gravel that you sprinkle in a fireplace to make your flames like blue and red. It changes the color of the fire in your fireplace.
I certainly would think there are products like that.
Yeah, and it's you know, when you think about changing the color of fire, you're talking about pure chemicals. It can't be good for the environment, right?
Yeah, I don't have time for all that, Rob. I'm trying to save a fish.
I understand. So what you might want to do is keep them out of the hands of your youngster who would confuse it with Pop Rocks. Do you remember the candy Pop Rocks?
I remember Pop Rocks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Well, this child ate Pop Rocks.
One of our family members bought Pop Rocks. I ate it and I got no flavor because they're supposed to pop in your mouth. I just put more in my mouth and then it started to burn.
It had a cartoon dragon blowing out flames. It's called Mystical Dragon. There was no anything alarming on the front package that would make a child or even, you know, in all fairness, an adult say, "Whoa, what is that?"
Yeah, don't give it to your kids. Don't let your kids have it. It's not Pop Rocks. It's not candy. It's Mystical Dragon, and keep it out of their reach. The child was hospitalized. He's fine now.
How old was the kid?
He was like 6.
Yeah, you got to be careful.
You do.
My mom didn't leave anything dangerous out up until my 27th birthday.
Really? And what did she leave out then?
It was just a bar of soap.
And you couldn't help yourself.
I thought it was a biscuit.
He said this biscuit.
I couldn't stop throwing up. It was horrible.
Well, at least you were clean.
Up. Yeah, and then I turned it around. I said, Ivory. What a dummy.
So Mike,
what a dummy.
One more thing about the Golden Globes, and I'm going to play this again.
Golden Globes.
Have we ever blown the same thing out twice in a show?
Yes, we have.
That's
and
good.
We did just then.
I was very pleased that Austin Butler won Best Actor for his performance as Elvis in the Elvis movie. But I'm worried.
I didn't know that he won. That's good.
I'm worried because now he talks like Elvis all the time. He's
really? Like his acceptance speech was
Elvis?
Well,
listen to this. I mean, seriously.
My boy. Woo. God. Oh, man. All my words are leaving me.
Up to that point, he's doing shtick.
Right.
So he's doing the Elvis voice of shtick, and then
but,
he continues.
But it
right?
continues, and you can tell he's putting on a voice.
Grateful right now, I'm in this room full of my heroes. Brad, I love you. Quentin, I printed out the Pulp Fiction script when I was 12. I cannot believe I'm here right now. I just want to thank the Hollywood Foreign Press for this honor. I want to also say to my fellow nominees...
Right?
You have turned in the most beautiful, profound work, and I am so honored and proud to be listed among you.
I said,
that's weird.
What the hell
you
are you doing?
You nailed that one.
Yeah.
It is absolutely weird. Because when he comes in, he goes, my boy.
That's a joke.
And does that.
Yeah.
That's fine. But then he's staying in. I think he's super nervous.
I do,
and
too.
And I think that's probably why he kept it. That's why if I ever won any kind of radio award,
yes.
I would always use the Charlie voice, you know?
I want to thank the entire Academy.
I love you, Brad Pitt.
I love you, Brad. Oh, I want to be Mr. Brad Pitt. I mean, Mrs. Brad Pitt. You know, famous movie star.
You know.
You know. Thank you.
Charlie, did you think Gerard Carmichael was funny?
No, I thought he sucked.
Thank you, Charlie.
You're welcome.
A lot of times I read lists about what foreigners, like from other countries and other continents, think about American food. And there's one thing they don't understand. Mm-hmm. Ranch dressing. Americans love ranch dressing, and it doesn't play well in other countries. I don't know why. I'm not a real big ranch guy.
I'm not a ranch guy either. I mean, if you're going to have ranch, you might as well. See, you and I are foodies and fat guys.
Exactly.
So you think the way I do. If you're going to have ranch, you might as well have blue cheese.
Precisely.
Right?
Precisely.
There you go. A real dressing.
Yeah,
not
yeah.
that watered down mayonnaise with a couple of herbs in it.
Mike, there's a reason the valley was hidden, because no one wanted to go there.
That's a good line. But did you steal that, or is that your own?
I just made that up.
That's very good. Send my that right boy, out to Brad.
My boy, my boy.
My boy, my boy. Hey, that valley's hitting, man.
So
that
I want to play you this tape of a little girl, and this is the first time. This is the first time. Austin Butler needs to know you don't get to play Elvis again. You get to do it once.
You better stop dipping those carrots in that crap. That's not good stuff, kids. Yes, sir. Put a little blue cheese in there. Get that Hidden Valley Ranch out of the way.
I don't like fish. Anyway, here's the little girl. The first time she tastes ranch dressing, they're breeding these people to like ranch, Mike. That's what's up.
What's that?
Ranch.
Oh, I love it.
she loves ranch.
Yeah.
So, well, it's a child's dressing.
You know who I bet loves ranch dressing?
He left about 10 minutes
exactly.
ago.
Exactly. That's what I think. That's what I think. I don't like, I don't know, man. A chicken nugget.
My boy, my boy. What's a chunk of this? What's this chunk in my ranch? Blue cheese?
It kind of looks like cheese, but it's blue.
That's nasty stuff. Looks like mold to me, man.
Jack, listen, if you're in Yellowstone National Park, and you've done that, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And you see an elk is an impressive creature.
Oh, magnificent creature.
With huge antlers and power, just huge. Don't mock the elk. This guy will tell you why. Mike, we close with this. A Yellowstone tourist is in his car mocking an elk, and you can actually hear the air leaving the tires because the elk walks over, puts his head down, and pops the guy's right front driver's tire.
I'm with the elk.
Don't mock the elk.
Watch out, buddy. We're fight. You want to go, bud?
That's it. He just popped.
You heard that.
Yes.
It was actually doing that. Yes. That's amazing. Yeah. That's absolutely amazing.
Don't mock the elk. Eat blue cheese dressing and don't use Elvis's voice. That's
all right. I got to go save a fish. I got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. Hope you like our new closing music. I fell in love with this when I heard it the first
time.
We'll be back on Thursday with a brand new episode, ladies and gentlemen. For Rob Spiewak and Oscar Santana, Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
Trust me.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
So crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Shut your pie hole! We're working here!
I thought I told you never to interrupt me while I'm working!
Man said if you didn't leave, we'd bury you here. Fine, we'll leave. I don't want you to leave. I want you to dig.
I think I just wet myself.